Text 51551 today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
And one of our listeners just texted in to say, thank you so much to David Coleman. I have been worrying about my 15-year-old son, but simply didn't know how to approach it. I feel now it's my duty to discuss this with him and let him know my thoughts instead of sweeping it under the carpet. So a very positive text there about David. We've move on. Today has seen the start of RTÉ's week-long focus on climate change. And tonight on RTÉ One Television, we get a glimpse into the future to see what damage the planet's increasingly extreme weather patterns might have on us here in Ireland. Will Ireland Survive 2050? Is presented by environmental scientist and activist Dr. Cara Austenberg and retired head of forecasting for Met Aaron, Gerald Fleming. Morning, Gerald.
Morning,
thanks so
Miriam.
Much for coming in. Lovely to see you again.
Pleasure.
Look, there are amazing visual effects in this documentary tonight. We see flooded and snow-covered streets in future in Dublin, Cork and all around Ireland. Impressive as the images are, they come with a very serious message, don't they?
They do. There's been a lot of work done on what might happen to Ireland, what probably will happen to Ireland if our current route, if you like, or evolution of climate change happens globally. And that's all tied up in scientific reports. So what we're trying to do in those images is, if you like, put flesh on the bones to show people actually what that's like. Because it's one thing to read that the sea level will rise by so much or the rainfall might be greater in the winter by so much. But it's another thing to see what the impact of that might be. And we're trying to visualise that so that people can actually understand that this may be part of our future.
So you're looking at Ireland in 30 years' time. So how do we predict what the weather will be like then? How accurate can we be?
So what we use there are start with climate models. So we have the weather forecast models, which are computer mathematical representations of the atmosphere. And they've got wonderful over the last, over my forecasting career, when I started forecasting, we had very little to go on. You know, we had our maps and we had our charts and we kind of moved low pressures here and there and fronts on a little bit. And now we have all this wonderful guidance from the computers. So they use those very same models, but use them in a kind of a different way to run the forecast ahead years and years and decades. Now, of course, nobody is trying to say that we know what's going to happen on the 11th of November in 2047. But if we look at the whole of November's, if you like, for that decade or the following decade, we can build up a picture of how the month might change or the season might change or the year might change. And we look at the averages and we look at the possible extremes. So we're using much the same technology that has brought weather forecasting to a very accurate state as it is at the moment compared to what it used to be. And we're using that to look further ahead.
So all our major urban centres are coastal with major rivers. Mm. What will they look like in 30 years' time, Gerald?
And this is part of the problem. You know, they all grew up beside the sea because the sea was a good place to be because people sailed in and out. The Vikings obviously came in their boats, you know. Most of our big urban centres date back that long, 1,000 years. And the rivers and so on provided water and fish and so on. But that's almost become a negative now, that positive, that why these settlements grew up in these locations, the vulnerability of them as sea levels rise, as rainfall levels increase, as the likelihood of flooding increases, we've got to look at that as being a very serious threat as we look into the decades ahead.
Because some, you know, more extreme predictions, don't they, Gerald, see sea levels around Ireland rising up to 30 to 40 centimetres. How could that change Ireland physically if that did happen?
It doesn't sound like a lot, that, you know, but the sea levels have already risen on the far side of the Atlantic, say on the New Jersey, New York shoreline, by that sort of amount over the course of the last decade. And that's part of the reason why Hurricane Sandy was so devastating, because that great sea surge and those waves driven by the hurricane winds were starting from a higher base, that the base level had been risen, and then you add in all the weather effects and you had all that flooding on the coast. Mm. So a similar sort of thing could well happen on this side of the Atlantic, probably will happen, because even though we could potentially, we probably won't do it politically, turn off our carbon dioxide development tomorrow, if you like, and stop pumping more stuff into the atmosphere, the sea levels will continue to rise for some time because that's already, if you like, priced in to what we've been doing in the last number of decades. So we're going to have to cope with sea level rise, and we're going to have to think about flooding risk, and we're going to have to think very carefully about, you know, where we put new developments, how we protect older developments, and the relative costs of all of that.
And would those sea levels, would they change our country physically, Gerald?
30, 40 centimetres would not. But if we look ahead centuries and we look at something like the Greenland ice cap, or more significantly the Antarctic ice cap melting, but we're looking centuries there because all that ice would take a long time to melt. But that would raise the sea level by many, many metres, and that would certainly change our country very much in terms of its coastline and in terms of even, say, the Shannon River, which is a very flat river, and you know that would become basically just a big lake across the middle of the country.
Last year, of course, we had the beast from the east, we'd Storm Emma and a drought. I mean, are these extreme weather events going to be more frequent, do you think, in our country?
That is a worry. There are signs that the westerly winds, which, you know, give us our very changeable, very variable, sometimes chilly as this morning, but at the same time, more or less benign weather, that those westerly winds are decreasing in their strength and leading to more of what we call blocking, which was we get one type of weather for a long time. Now, that type of weather could be cold northerly winds, which brought us snow, as it did during that beast from the east and so on. They could be very mild, moist southwesterly winds, which bring us rain and rain and rain and rain and rain, as we had some other years. Really what it means is the changeability of the weather would go and we'd get stuck in a kind of a weather pattern, which would give us a lot of one thing. And we're not really built for that. And this is certainly one of the scenarios that the climate change researchers are looking at very carefully.
Look, you were giving talks back in the 80s about climate change. Mm. Why weren't we listening then? And why haven't we acted sooner?
And this may be something of a failure for my profession, in a sense that we knew about this and we gave talks, but we gave them from a very scientific viewpoint. And maybe we didn't anticipate the sort of level of changes that society would need to make and didn't address those at that time. But certainly, if we look at the carbon dioxide graph, it's just been going up inexorably year after year after year. So we've had no impact on that. And that's really the only thing that matters. If we're pumping more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, more greenhouse gases, the atmosphere will react accordingly. So we certainly, even though we've been trying to put the message out for whatever reason, and of course there's other things about interference or political, financial, whatever, just vested interests, and maybe we didn't allow for all that.
Do you think the conversation suffers a bit from comments like the recent ones from our Taoiseach? We were talking about the benefits for Ireland, including warmer winters, lower heating bills, fewer deaths due to cold weather.
There's a balance to be struck. In overall terms, it's going to be negative, I think, but we have to recognise there's positive sides too. We can't be alarmist and put our head in the sand and say, well, it's just too bad and everything is going to be dreadful and I'm giving up. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be looking, you know, squarely at what the problem is, recognising there'll be things which we can benefit from, recognising things that we're going to have to protect ourselves from, and doing the protection, making sure our society is prepared, and that's mentally as well as physically. For example, the migrant issue, we're probably going to still have a very livable climate, but other parts of Europe may not. So are we going to be happy if we have lots of people from the Mediterranean countries coming to live here because their parts of Europe really are uninhabitable? So there's lots of aspects to it, but I don't think we should really be alarmist or afraid too much. We need to look this square in the eye and then figure out how to deal with it.
Well, Gerard Fleming, everyone should watch tonight. It's part of RT's focus on climate change this week. It's called Will Ireland Survive 2050? And it's a documentary on RT1 television at 9:30 tonight. Thanks so much, Gerald.
Thank you, Miriam. Pleasure.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.